and welcome to this week's episode of Coming From College podcast series. I'm Jenny and this is my colleague Maeve.
Hi.
And today we will be focusing on what you need to know in order to submit your assessment successfully. Now, let's start with Turnitin, which is what most students use to submit their work here at QMU. Maeve, can you tell us more about it and explain where to find it?
Yeah, of course. So, Turnitin is a tool that's designed to check for originality and plagiarism. So when you submit your paper, Turnitin will compare it to everything that it's got in its massive database, which consists of other students' work, books, articles, even websites. There's a lot on there. To give you an idea, most universities use Turnitin and every single thing that has ever been uploaded on it is there, and that's just student work. So there's loads. Anyway, here at QMU, we use it for submitting our written assignments, and it all happens online on the Hub. So if you haven't already, go listen to that podcast episode so you know everything about the Hub. When you enter the Hub's homepage, the first thing that you'll see are the links to all the modules you're taking. And on each specific module page, you'll find a folder for submissions. It's usually titled something like assessments or assessment area. When you click on the folder, it'll open a page with all you need for your assessment, such as the brief, the regulations, and any other information, including the Turnitin Dropbox. They are usually named after your assessment. So if, for example, you have an essay and a presentation for your module, there should be two separate Dropboxes, one called something like Presentation Dropbox and the other 2000 word essay Dropbox or something like that. In each Turnitin Dropbox folder, you'll find a link to view or submit an assignment. And when you click on that, it opens another page where you can submit your work. You can submit as many times as you want before the deadline. However, once the deadline has passed, the folder will be hidden while the lecturer corrects it. So don't worry if you can't find the Dropbox after the deadline. There will always be a post-deadline Dropbox if you need it, but more on that later. Another thing I forgot to mention, actually, is that some lecturers might give you access to Turnitin as a similarity checker, separate from your submission Dropbox. So as I said earlier, Turnitin is designed to prevent plagiarism. So this tool lets you check the similarity of your work. There are different colors depending on the percentage of similarity, which is the amount of your work that resembles other people's. But don't be afraid if it ends up being orange or something. It counts your references and your bibliography. And someone will definitely have used items that you are using in yours. The lecturers won't look at the similarity checker. And as far as the Dropbox goes, lecturers use the Turnitin score as a guide. They won't mark you down for a higher score unless they find that parts of your handwriting are plagiarized, because Turnitin will have highlighted those.
It's really a useful tool. So far, only one of my lecturers put one of those, but it was nice to see how much quotes I am using. Maeve, you explained where to find the submission drop boxes, but can you actually tell us how to submit your work? Are there any requirements there?
Right. So when you're submitting your hand-in, you'll be asked for a submission title, for which you only put your student number. All the assessments are anonymous, unless you're told otherwise, so don't write your name anywhere in the document or the file name. You then upload your document to that page, which is the page that I was talking about earlier where you can view slash submit. So it can take several minutes for the system to upload your file, but once it has, you'll see a preview of the document that you're submitting. And you can go through all of the pages, and there's some info like page numbers, word count, etc. So once you're sure that it's the right document, you've got your student number as a submission title, and all the information is correct, you can click confirm, and that's you. It's as simple as that. You will receive a confirmation email immediately after you've submitted it. If you don't, however, something might have gone wrong, and it's better you check it. You might need to resubmit it, but I've never had problems so far. And just to be on the safe side, I do recommend you not leave it until the last moment, because the closer you get to deadlines and the more people are uploading their files, the slower the system can be.
Definitely leave at least an hour, if not more, before a deadline. If you can do it the day before, even better. Speaking about deadlines, you mentioned that sometimes they can be found in the assessment brief in that folder, but what happens if they're not uploaded there? Are there any other places that you can check?
Oh yeah, there's plenty of places where you can find out about your deadlines. First, you have the module handbook, and each module has one. The handbook is basically a breakdown of the module as a whole, so you'll find your module objectives and learning objectives, the structure of the module, your professor's email, key readings, and also some key information about your assessments, such as the deadline. For details about your hand-ins, though, you'll have to check the assessment briefs. Every module has an assessment brief, which details the task, the marking criteria, and also the deadline, obviously.
Yes, but what happens if a student can't submit on time?
Then they can apply for an extension. QMU is great with the support that they offer their students, and I feel like they always try to be understanding of their circumstances. So there's typically two ways to get an extension. The first one is called extenuating circumstances, and you can apply for this through the QMU portal, where they also have examples of acceptable reasons. Procrastination, unfortunately, is one of them. When you're applying for it, you will need evidence for your claim, and that will obviously vary depending on the situation, but it can be as simple as a note from your PAT or your personal academic tutor. Then, once you've submitted that, the university looks over your claim, decides whether they can approve it or not, and if so, give you a new deadline. You should try and apply for extenuating circumstances before your original deadline, where possible, just to give the university time to work things out. Another way to get an extension is by having an ILP, or Individual Learning Plan. If you have a learning difficulty or disability, you can speak to the student services and they can arrange for you to receive one. I got one during my first semester at QMU because I was suffering from bad anxiety. So for assessments now, thanks to my ILP, I have a week's extension for individual written work, and I get a separate room for exams and stuff like that. So if you have any problems, don't hesitate to get in touch with someone at the uni.
And really don't feel intimidated to reach for help with your EC. The lecturers are really understanding and want to help. But now I want to move on. So far, we've mainly talked about written work and how to submit it, which is always to turn it in. Now, I want to talk for a bit about other assessment types. And as theater and film student, I had some practical assessments, and let's not forget about exams. I will first start with more universal type of assessments, and that would be the presentation. Usually there are two ways to submit your slides after you deliver it in front of your class. One is again to turn it in when you convert the slides into a PDF file, and the other is emailing it directly to your professor and they will tell you which one they prefer. And there is the practical side. In my time at QMU, I had to shoot some short films and do visual projects. And depending on how large the files are, sometimes we had to hand in our SD cards. And that is done by submitting a hard copy to the school submission box. That is a big white wooden box located opposite of the school office reception desk, which is on the left of the main entrance. But also be careful because each of the three schools in our uni had a separate section in that box, but they're all titles, so you should be fine. Also, I had some practical exams where my professors filmed us, and that was that. We didn't have to do anything. And one time I had to use Pebble Pads, which is where I submitted my reflective essays in a form of a blog. And that could be accessed through your QMU portal or through the QMU website homepage. And I can only imagine that the nurse courses have other assessment types as well. But most importantly, whatever your assessment is, whatever you might be given, it is always clearly communicated what you should do. For each different one I had besides essays, my lecturers made some time for us to run through what we had to do, so really don't worry. And exams as well. if we get back on campus, it's straightforward. You sit, write on your paper, and at the end, you go to whoever is supervising your exam, which is usually your professor. And if it's online, really depends on the type, but everything will be explained to you. For example, at the end of my second year, I had an open question exam, which was done like an essay type of assessment, and it was submitted to Turnitin. But if you have some closed question exam with multiple choices, I imagine that they will also do it through the hub, through some folder, and you submit it there as well.
Jenny, you mentioned presentations and practical assessments. Did you do them alone, or were you part of a group? And how do you submit those kinds of assessments?
So all of those that I mentioned were group works. And for submissions, well, it really depends on what your professor says. So for the movies I mentioned, we had to submit an SD card and a sheet listing everybody working on the different projects. And I had 3 short films in that year, and I changed my group every time. So we had to detail the students in each group. For the presentations, it also depends. Sometimes the professor wants us just to email them and say who is in the group. Or when using Turnitin, we all submitted the absolute same file individually. Some of my practical recorded exams, in addition to them, each of us had to submit a blank copy with our student number through Turnitin to get our individual marks. But essentially, the rule is this. Turnitin, you submit it yourself, no matter that the file will be the same. And this is where you're going to receive your mark. But if you submit just one copy for the whole group, you usually get an email with your mark, and then it gets recorded into the student portal for you. At least that's my experience been so far.
Thank you for sharing your experience with us, Jenny. And to everyone listening, thank you for being with us today, and we hope that you found it helpful. That's all from us for now. Have a lovely day, and don't forget to check out our other podcasts.